is Ed McMahon. It's That's Life with Mark Snyder. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Mark.
And joining us now at PMP Network is Christopher Darden, who is going to be on some episodes, or at least one we know of Power of Attorney, the syndicated law show. Welcome to the show, Christopher.
Hey, how are you, Mark?
I'm doing great, thanks. Nice good to talk to you. You know, it's amazing to me what one trial can do for someone in terms of visibility in this country. Famous, quote-unquote, is a kind of a strange word in this country, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, especially for lawyers. Can you imagine having celebrity lawyers?
Yeah, well, there's too many of them around now. There's already too many lawyers, but the celebrity ones, and we have our own in our backyard here. Before even the OJ trial, F. Lee Bailey was still a big celebrity.
Yeah, and of course you have Dershowitz.
And we have Dershowitz, exactly.
God bless Dershowitz.
Alan comes on this show once a month to discuss the issues.
Yeah.
And it's nice to always talk to him. He always has some very radical views.
He's an interesting, fuzzy-headed guy.
He certainly is. Now, prior to the O.J. Simpson trial, you had tried 19 homicides without an acquittal. He had an incredible record. You go into this trial, you're helping out, you're on the team with Marsha Clark, and I don't know about you, but many of us out there watching the trial thought that it was going to result in a guilty verdict, but it didn't. Were you folks shocked when that verdict came down?
No, I wasn't shocked at all. I as the trial proceeded, I came to conclude that the jury would acquit him in the end, even though, I was somewhat hopeful. The night before that perhaps, he would be convicted. But I had prepared, remarks believing that, in fact, that he would be acquitted.
Hmm. Now, you wrote a bestseller about the trial, In Contempt.
Yeah.
Which I unfortunately never got a copy of, but I assume that all the feelings that you had going through this thing, was it the jury that convinced you, not the trial itself, but the actual just watching the jury that convinced you that it was going to go down no matter how what you guys did?
Well, that was part of it. There's a lot of second guessing that went on then and still goes on. But, the lawyers in the courtroom who are there on a daily basis with the jury and who see the evidence and the testimony firsthand typically are the best judges of what's going to happen in the end. And, I watched the jury a great deal because there was a great deal of evidence put on by other prosecutors, so that I was in a position really to just monitor the jury, see how they reacted, if they reacted at all,
mm-hmm.
To parts of our case, and they were not impressed.
Well, some of the more complicated things like DNA just seemed to completely turn off the jury.
Well, it turned a lot of people off. I think that we lost our way in some sense. I mean, the trial, of course, is about evidence, but it's also about persuading people to vote a certain way, to take a certain action. And when you allow things, when you get stuck in the minutiae for weeks on end, you lose people.
Right.
And you lose the power of persuasion. And the impact of the evidence or the significance of it is often lost.
And you talk about this. You talk about the tediousness of some of those minute details,
sure.
And then you turn around and you see Johnny Cochran with his quick, boom, ba-boom, ba-boom type of delivery, and it was obvious which ones the jury preferred.
Yeah, for example, if you reflect back on the coroner's testimony, we put the coroner on for, 6 days?
Mm-hmm.
6 court days? Then Shapiro did cross-examination on the guy in, 23 minutes. It's hard to convince jurors that one man killed two people in the span of 2 minutes, on the one hand, when it requires 40 hours of testimony.
Hmm.
It doesn't jive. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense in the minds of jurors.
It's interesting to note that after this trial, that you wrote the book In Contempt. You also have a legal thriller, The Trials of Nikki Hill, which is a fiction book.
Yes.
And you've even done some acting stuff.
Yeah, I did a little bit of that too. I mean, having been in that trial really gave me a number of opportunities I would not have otherwise had.
Now, I assume that, I don't know if you're, are you married or single?
Married.
Married, but were you single during the trial?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it must have been a good time for you after that, especially, you know, the women women love celebrities, you know.
Yeah, especially in L.A. Yeah, you know, I had some good times, a lot of fun. Met a lot of people, a lot of different people, and went places I'd never gone before. Having been born and raised in California, I never even thought about going to New York. In fact, I didn't go to New York until after the Simpson case, or Boston for that matter.
It's interesting when you see what's happened here. You were, you know, a prosecutor, a very successful one, then assisting in the prosecution of this huge trial. Now you you're teaching law, right?
Well, I was up until last December. Now I practice a little. I do power of attorney, and I play husband and daddy.
Which is kind of fun, huh?
Yeah, a lot of fun actually.
How old are your children or child?
Two and almost four.
Oh wow! Yeah. Mine are 6 and 9, and they grow up so quickly. It's just amazing.
Oh yeah, I got to tell you, these past 3.5 years, 4 years with my kids, just been the best years of my life. I'm really enjoying myself.
Tell us a little bit about Power Attorney. We've had a couple of the attorneys, and we had Judge Napolitano on as well. And it's a really cool show. It airs in Boston at 9:30 and at various times all over the country. It's syndicated, so check your local listings. But it's a really good show. There's a lot of law shows around, but this is one of the only ones. In fact, I think it is the only one that has actual real attorneys arguing before a real judge.
That's true, and that's one of the reasons that Power of Attorney is different from all the other courtroom shows. You have litigants who are represented by a handful of very high-end lawyers. And, you know, you can't really have a decent courtroom setting, I don't think, if you don't have lawyers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the litigants on our show don't have to just sit there or stand there and be bashed and humiliated by some old lady in a black robe. You know, they got lawyers.
I actually saw this show today because it was just on TV in Boston, and where you were representing someone from a woman suing her brother, and the brother started a tow truck company with her, and she was a stripper. It was a very, very strange episode.
Yeah, you know, it is television.
Yeah, sure is.
It's law and it's television. But, you know, there is something to be learned about the law in some of these cases, on the one hand. So it has some educational value, but even more entertainment value, I think.
Yeah. Now, how did you get this gig?
You know, there was a time when the Roseanne Barr show was on, the talk show, was on, and she used to have a Judge Roseanne segment. And so I'd come on, Gloria Allred would come on sometimes, and we would represent litigants. And some of the producers on her show remembered me from that segment. And so when they came up with the idea of Power of Attorney, I was approached and asked to be a part of it.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
It's a nice show, too, actually. It's a lot of fun, and people do learn from it. And I'm sure it's a nice paying gig for you as well.
Yeah, and hopefully one day, you know, we'll have Dershowitz on.
I would think he'd jump at a chance to do something like that.
You think so?
Yep.
Okay, well, you know, the next time you talk to him, ask him about
that. I will. In fact, I will definitely ask him next time I talk to him.
We can make that happen.
I'll tell him that Christopher Darden wants him on Power of Attorney.
That's right.
And I'll find out what his reaction. If it's a good one, I'll give you a call and tell you.
Okay.
So anything else in terms of writing or acting coming up that we should see?
Well, in January, I'm going to publish a sequel to the fiction we talked about a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
The first novel was The Trials of Nikki Hill. And the sequel is going to be called L.A. Justice, and it'll be out in mid-January.
And who's publishing that?
Warner Books.
Oh, wow. Big one. Any other acting gigs coming up?
You know, no. I've got to get out there. Now if they have somebody else playing me on this O.J. miniseries, he'll probably get all of my acting gigs. You know?
Have you? Is that on yet? It's already been on, right?
That's going to come up next week, I believe.
Oh, okay. Are you going to watch it?
No.
Yeah. You lived through it once, you don't want it again, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, from what I've seen in terms of the little trailers I've seen, I really don't like the way I'm being depicted in that.
Let me ask you a question. If you ran into O.J. Simpson tomorrow, would you say anything to him? Would you look at him? How would you feel?
You know, I don't know how I'd feel. I mean, there has to be a reason, I think, that I haven't run into him in 5 years. I've run into everybody else. I've run into every member of his family, his ex-wife, but not him. And
yeah.
I suppose there's a reason for that. But I'm over it.
Well, you might be over it, but I bet you if you walked into them, it would come right back to you.
That may be true. You know, I've talked to people who said that they, you know, that they encountered OJ and, you know, and chills ran up and down their spines.
Mm.
That they were really, really affected by seeing him. I don't think that'll be the case with me, quite honestly. Not about to turn my back on him. You know, probably put on a steel turtleneck sweater. You know, but I'm not too concerned about him.
Have you seen Marcia Clark at all?
No. I've seen her on television here and there. I haven't seen her in several months, actually.
Well, there's obviously stories about you and her together, but I believe, if I remember correctly, in the book, did you dispel those stories?
Well, I...
Or did you somewhat confirm them?
Somewhat confirmed. That's very lawyerly.
Yes.
Somewhat confirmed. No. I don't, you know, I don't get into stuff like that. You know, particularly if I can help not get into stuff like that. And if I had kissed, I wouldn't kiss and tell.
Well, that's a good idea, yeah. And it's interesting, that whole OJ thing is something that none of us will ever forget. Obviously, you won't, even more than I, but even us folks who watched it will never forget that. Well, it's something we'll be able to talk to our grandchildren about.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I got to tell you, watching this election is far more important and probably will prove far more memorable.
Yeah, it's interesting because the kids are getting a lesson on this. They talk about it every day at school, about the Electoral College and about the ramifications of it. But from my perspective, Republicans are going to control the Senate and the House no matter how this rolls out.
Yeah.
So it really doesn't make any difference who the president is.
I think so. And, you know, I hate all the finger-pointing that's going on and the race-baiting
mm-hmm.
as well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, we're seeing that in some of the areas of the urban areas where a lot of African Americans live, they're overwhelmingly voted for Gore.
Yeah, and you've seen it right there in West Palm Beach County, where where the usual raiders have been sent down there to stir people up. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing screw up on the part of the Democrats and the local election officials who designed that ballot.
Yeah, Democrats did it, and it's interesting to note before the election they didn't question it, and last election they were talking about the 19,000 ballots that had been thrown out because they're double punched. The last election in '96, 15,000 were double punched and thrown out, and Clinton didn't complain about that.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting, and I also think that you know, there's a lesson to be learned in terms of the black vote. I mean, really, the election was for, I think, black Americans to decide, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You consider all of the ballots that apparently have been thrown out, the 19,000 ballots, and the number of black voters in West Palm Beach County. But, you know, it's a lesson, I think, for the Republicans. You know, the black vote's important. It can make a difference.
Absolutely.
And it is certainly making a difference in this presidential race.
Well, if you look at the popular vote, it certainly made a huge difference. And in that particular county, it's Jewish and African-American voters that make up the majority.
Yeah.
And they both did very well for Buchanan.
Who would vote for Buchanan? If anybody called you today, I actually voted.
No, I've never talked to anybody who's voted for Buchanan, actually.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but in that particular county, though, or in that area, I guess, what, they had 16,000 registered people in the Reform Party?
Yeah.
But I don't know anybody who would vote for him. I'm sure that in some of the Midwest areas where the Ku Klux Klan thrive, I'm sure that he's very popular.
Yeah, three guys, yeah.
But anyway, you can see Christopher Darden on Power of Attorney. He's on selected shows. And check the listings in your local paper, because it's a great show to watch. It's on in the mornings in Boston on Channel 25, the Fox Network, and it's on all over the country, and it's a great show. I really enjoy it. It's kind of a little lesson in law.
Well, thank you. You know, we're getting great ratings, the number one syndicated daytime television show, and, you know, God, Jeffrey Figer's on an awful lot this month. But if you can get beyond it, I think folks will enjoy watching Power of Attorney.
It's a lot of fun. And Christopher, good luck with everything, and hopefully the next book will be as successful as the last one.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.